Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Hey there, patrons. Welcome back to another episode of Survivor Rewind. It's me, John, joined, as always, by McKenna.
Oh, yeah. We are here talking Benoit 2, an amazing season. If you have not rewatched the season, I highly suggest doing so. But glad you are here to listen to us talk about episode 11, Surprise. And surprise again.
McKenna, when was the last time you watched Benoit 2?
It was recently, but not too recently. Within this year, by this year, I mean like a year from, what month is it? May? Within the May to May.
Yes, it is May now, believe it or not.
But I think it was, over the summer, I'd say it was when I last watched Vanuatu.
And what are your thoughts on this? Obviously, the season's like very highly regarded by the specialists, and I assume you're no different in that case?
I was different at first, and then I became part of the specialist universe and was like, all right, it's been talked up, let me watch this. And then I was like, oh my gosh, this season is great. It's like, it has so many top tier characters, gameplay. I mean, this is a Patreon, so they can't see my autographed picture of Chad that hangs in the background. But if they go and watch the live show, they'll see Chad in the background.
Yeah, this is a season that feels... It's a strange season because it's like the last one of the 10s. It's right in that first group of 10. It's after, I guess, technically it's 9, but whatever. Semantics. But it's after All-Stars, so it falls like really weird in the like evolution of Survivor.
Yeah.
But it still feels like we've really continued with the casting of great characters that we had in Pearl Islands and Amazon. I love this season. This is a season that, yes, I started watching Pearl Islands. I remember Pearl Islands vividly. I remember All Stars. I remember everything leading up to the finale of All Stars and everything like that. But I would say Vanuatu is kind of that season that really sticks with me the most as a kid. This is the season where I remember sitting down, watching the premiere with the family and like really getting into it, seeing how, you know, they divided the tribes by gender and then kind of seeing, you know, the Fat Five take over the men's tribe and get to this point where then we get to emerge and the men are just getting decimated by these women. It's an exciting season. It sounds less exciting when you explain it, that it's like kind of a steamroll for most of the season. But episode 11 is where things get real interesting on this season.
Yes. So last episode, we actually had the pole hold challenge, which was the last episode for 46 as well. Then Scout and Twyla were like talking with the boys. Maybe they were going to flip over to them. But Chad ultimately goes home. And so now Chris is on his own. He's the last gentleman remaining, and he will stay that way until the final tribal council. So yeah, you're right. It's like starting to get good where Chris is maneuvering throughout the game. We start the episode with the aftermath of the vote out, and Eliza's shocked she's still here.
I mean, as Eliza says throughout this episode, she's always kind of shocked she's still here because she always thinks people are trying to vote her out. But it's not an episode of Vanuatu if we don't actually start with videos of volcanoes exploding.
Well, I mean, it's Vanuatu Islands of Fire for a reason.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, 100%. But it was just like, yeah, volcanoes are cool. You're right, Survivor.
So pretty much it's the aftermath of the vote, and then we get right into the reward challenge.
The aftermath of this vote is actually, like, I think goes to really show why Chris is so down in this season, despite being on the back foot for a lot of it. I mean, keep in mind, he's pretty much the reason why the men lose the first immunity challenge, because he can't get over the balance beam. Mm-hmm. He manages to wrangle up, again, the Fat Five together in order to take over that tribe from the traditionally young, athletic men who would normally dominate an early portion of a Survivor season at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And since the merge, since the swap, really, he has been spending so much time building his social game that he has a lot of information coming into him. And despite the fact that, like, Twyla and Scout approached him and Chad about flipping the vote, trying to get Eliza out at the last tribal council and everything, Chris immediately runs that information to Amy and Leanne, and they at no point in this episode question whether or not Chris is telling the truth.
Right.
It's fascinating to see that this man who has been in direct opposition to them essentially since the beginning of the game is trusted more than these two people they have played the entire game with in Twyla and Scout, who, as we're saying, like, top-tier Survivor characters.
Yeah, so, and honestly, Twyla, underrated player.
Absolutely, 100%. And actually, I think we see some of her best gameplay in this episode in particular.
Mm-hmm. So, we want to talk the reward challenge?
Actually, there is one, because Leanne confronts Twyla before we get to this reward challenge about the allegations that Chris has put forth.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just like this really interesting thing in the conversation that I thought was worth mentioning. Leanne specifically says, like, she says, "Hey, Twyla, we heard this was going on." And Twyla's like, "Well, Chris is just saying that to, like, get us at each other, right? Like, make us split up and, like, fight each other and everything so that he can keep going."
Mm-hmm.
Leanne's response is that doesn't benefit Chris at all.
Wait, getting them to break up doesn't benefit Chris?
That is legitimately Leanne's response to Twyla in this conversation.
Well, that's false.
Yeah. And then Twyla moves along and says, "Yeah, it was Scout's idea. Like, stop bothering me. Go talk to Scout." Then we get to the reward challenge.
So we have a little bit of a sponsored, not sponsored situation with the Apple computer here. But we have Jeff faking out that they have a 1 minute like email or AIM correspondence with their family member, and they're so excited because it's a family visit, whatever. And he's like, and Twyla goes up to keyboard and is like, "Someone needs to type for me. I don't know how to type." And then Jeff's like, "Psych, we have videos," and it's a video call. And it's so sweet watching everyone just thinking they're only going to get this 1 minute phone call with their family. And, you know, we all know that the family's actually on the island. So they have these fake backdrops that they're just recycling and reusing. I think Twyla's son is in the same place as Scout's partner, but Scout's partner has a painting.
Yeah. It's so funny because it's just like this very generic blue wall, which could be like any wall somewhere, except for there's a cable running up the wall.
Right.
And it's like a very distinct cable. And I didn't notice it first. And obviously in the episode, it's kind of harder to catch that because they're happening so consecutively. And we don't see like the turnover of, oh, we have to get in touch with Leanne's best friend now. But then Leanne's best friend is the next person that comes up. And it's just like, man, who broadcasts with the like camera in front of a pull down map of the world? That's kind of weird.
Well, then we also have like the calendar or whatever in the back of another person.
Of Chris's partner. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, what is going on here?
But my favorite part is like they tried really hard to put these backgrounds in, but they didn't position the camera well enough. So you can see the blue wall on the edges of, like, Eliza's mom when she's there. And someone else. But it's just, but again, like, they didn't try when Scout's partner comes out. It's just, like, here's a picture on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny. It's honestly hilarious. And Jess, of course, like, trying to keep it secret. But in the moment, do you think the survivors are realizing that?
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't have realized that until like they were brought out and I'm like, oh, that background wasn't anything I know.
Yeah.
But like I would have been so caught up with like talking to my person for a minute and like, hi, how are you? Oh my God, it's just so good to see your face, hear your voice, blah, blah, blah. I miss you. And then
of course.
It's over, basically.
Of course. Although it makes a lot more sense why they were able to have video call when, you know, the line's probably going directly to the video.
That's
like 50 feet away.
Yeah, that's true. So the actual challenge to then, you know, see your loved one is questions about the game. And
the game so far. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. It's not something we usually see in Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we saw it a little bit like in these earlier seasons, but it's definitely more of like a Big Brother type thing than it is a Survivor thing.
For sure. I mean, we see it with, it's almost like a earlier version of Fallen Comrades with the challenge, like thrown into it. Right, where they're asking about, you know, who did this? Oh, Rory did the majority of the slingshot stuff. And, you know, things like that where they keep asking, you know, game questions. And then we see one question I think is kind of like fair but unfair is like all the symbols on the Sudoku style puzzle, and someone can just easily take the lead because they get 3 points, 4 points, whatever, because it was a multi-point question.
And it's the only multi-point question. That's kind of the issue with it.
Right.
Is that if somebody's just like, oh, I know all four of these and no one else does, it's a huge advantage rather than answering a question one at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know if I would have remembered in game, but like I could name, you know, those shapes because it's just I've seen it so much and it's stuck in my brain. And so like some of these questions, I'm like, oh, do they remember that Rory shot all of the slingshot stuff? Like, you know.
Well, even when we saw like Who Falls, we see the people who remember it more. Like Chris remembers that one where Chris can't remember who sat out of the blindfold challenge.
Mm.
Right? Like they're those things where it's like, oh, this was the other tribe, so you're not paying attention to it.
Right.
It's a harder thing to do. But then again, it's day 28. They they've been out there a long time. Some might say longer than a season of Survivor.
Well, Eliza winds up winning, and her mom gets to come to camp with her, but Jeff is touched by the moments that everyone had with their loved ones, so they get a hug and kiss goodbye.
Jeff's such a troll. He's such a troll. Because Jeff is sitting there like laughing to himself. It's like, all these people think that this is the only time they're going to see them, but wait till tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I would love that, like, dupe of, like, no, they're still here, like, mind blown, because they've never done this again. This is the only time that they did this style of, like, loved ones visit, and I thought it was a really kind of neat way to do it.
I mean, you have them there, you already paid for them to get there, you might as well continue on with it and use them while you can, right? Mm-hmm. Free entertainment.
Exactly. So back at camp, Eliza's mom was worried about Eliza getting
everything?
Ebola, you know, what, name another illness, sickness, bug bite.
Susan was very convinced Eliza was just going to die playing Survivor.
Yeah. I mean, she is really tiny.
She is. She is. But I don't know. It's a bit of a hypochondriac situation here.
Yeah, agreed. And then while Eliza's having her moments with her mom, Scout is kind of doing damage control from the night before.
Yeah, and this is like the bulk of the episode, I would say, is these conversations. The really interesting thing about Eliza's mom being there is she seems to think that, like, Eliza has the wherewithal to realize, oh, me winning this challenge is, like, really bad for me, because everyone's going to be like, screw you, Eliza, you got to spend time with your loved one. And her hopes are that everyone getting to meet her mom will endear them to her enough so that they won't care about the fact that she won the challenge. I'm like, that is the wrong approach to take here.
No, it is the wrong approach, but I still would feel some sort of, like, I guess, comfort in Eliza's mom being there, because it's someone new. Someone new I can talk to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brings a different energy into camp. Can, you know, maybe she wasn't there for long. Like, it wasn't like an overnight with HB or Kathy's son.
It was overnight, wasn't it?
I thought it was just the day.
It was overnight.
Didn't feel like...
It's edited in a way where there's not a big emphasis on the fact that it's overnight.
It just felt like a one really long day situation. Yeah. But, you know, with Eliza's mom being there, like, she can help get things, help, you know, boil the water,
for sure.
And, you know, kind of ease...
Answer questions about the stock market.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's a Borneo joke for anyone who doesn't get it.
Yeah, because Sean's dad knew nothing.
Yeah, it was anything. Hilarious. Yeah, so we get to this point in this episode where Leanne and Amy are confronting Scout and Twyla more about, you know, these rumors of them working with the boys. Mm-hmm. And Scout does the smart strategic thing. You know who she blames for this move? The person who's not there anymore.
Chad.
That's the strategy, folks. If someone asks you about something, you say, conveniently, the person who came up with the plan is the person who's not here anymore. Sorry, they can't confirm it for you.
Right, exactly. But before, you know, Eliza's mom leaves the island, she strips. She takes off her shirt and strips.
Yeah, she does.
and Scout was like, that's our girl. She's one of us, because she took her top off.
Very Scout comment, that's for sure.
So then there was, you know, the manioc hunt, and that's when Leanne and Twyla decide that they want to argue about everything, and Leanne's trying to get information, and Twyla's just like, stop bothering me.
The interesting thing about this, because I think a lot of people think back on Vanuatu and they think of how good of a player Amy is, and of course that also how it helps that she comes back and Micronesian and everything.
I mean,
and
does it help? She's like, her game is cut so
well. That's the thing. But I have a lot of people like, but like her being on that season kind of have people like think very positively of Amy. Amy approaches this conversation terribly. She confronts Twyla, and Twyla's like, well, you know, like they're suggesting it. Obviously, I'm going to agree with them because that's basic survivor strategy when someone proposes a plan to you. You agree with them. And Amy's just like, well, I can't believe that you would appease them even for a moment. And like, you didn't even tell us the information. That's what being an alliance is all about, Twyla. You have to share all the information when people come up to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is like, this is, cool it, Amy. This is not the way to get someone to continue working with you, especially when you just told their closest ally that they are no longer in your final four plans.
And that heads us into the challenge.
Well, no. We have some important, like, there's an important moment in this season that happens in this conversation that we still have to handle, because Twyla swears on her son.
Oh, that's right. That's where
Twyla swears. This is where she swears on her son, and she says, "No, I swear I'm with you."
Mm-hmm.
And then we get the confessional of, maybe if I win $1 million, God will forgive me.
Yeah,
which
that's
is a
right.
Great confessional, by the way. Fantastic line. Way to go, Twyla. You're fantastic. I'm sorry, back in, oh no, I have to do math here, 2004, that was when the season was filmed, right?
Sure.
Back in 2004, people really took swearing on kids very seriously. I'm really sorry. Twyla, yeah. You are so ahead of your time, because, and she says it even in this confessional, right?
Twyla, like, walked so Tony could run.
Yeah. Well, was it her or was it Scout who said it in this episode? Maybe it was Scout, but one of them says... No, it was Scout. Scout said it. But it's like, I wanted to play this game honestly, but I knew at some point I was going to have to cheat, and steal. And we're at the lie, cheat, and steal point of the game.
Yeah, exactly.
And before we go to immunity, Julie does tell Chris that he has to win immunity.
Well,
otherwise, he's going home.
I mean, yeah, that's like the obvious. We haven't really talked. It's basically like Q in 46 being like, I have to win immunity or I go home. Not necessarily.
Yes, but at the same time, like, this is really important. And Julie and Chris's relationship is super important to this season, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And this is kind of where we really start seeing the, like, parts of it that matter. Julie feeds Chris information all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's super important.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to
more information that she leaks after the challenge. But let's get into this immunity challenge first.
Loved ones are back. They get to compete with their loved ones. They will be the callers of a blindfolded puzzle challenge. They have to go out and back and grab 3 bags and then do this volcano puzzle. And Chris can't yell or scream. It just comes out as just, ah, like, it's
projecting.
Not like,
what are you talking? He's projecting, that's all.
That's not like that's not an audible projection.
No, it's a little guttural, but I think he might have also been trying to make his voice lower because it would penetrate clearer. That with the cacophony of all the rest of the voices being
I still
at the same
feel like
time.
His voice would stand out.
It's really hard to tell, and just in general with blindfold challenges on Survivor, it's really hard to tell how audible these people are because obviously they're mic'd up and that's why we're hearing them,
right? And so they're lowering certain people,
yeah,
raising certain,
they're balancing
people,
it, right? Yeah. So we don't actually know what they sound like there, but that being said, this sounded like it hurt Chris's voice a lot.
Yeah, like, I feel like he would have been better to just speak loudly rather than try and scream. I think the scream was really bad.
Yeah, I agree.
It pretty much comes down to him and Amy for the win. Amy is like a half step ahead of him with getting the bags in. And then here's where he tells his wife, if I don't want immunity, I go home. And this also is a game-changing thing for Chris and his family because they all thought he went home that episode. And he didn't tell them until like the reunion, the final episode, what have you, that he's in the final two and could win.
Yeah. Good on him. NDAs mattered back then.
Yeah. I don't think NDAs from family, but, you know, I think the surprise is hilarious.
Yeah, and I mean, this is big. And obviously, it seems like just the way the season's going, it makes sense that Chris would be the one going here. Amy had this on lock. Her and her partner were just so in sync this entire time.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of see it with everyone else. Everyone else fumbles a little bit.
I find it somewhat funny that like Jeff or Amy or someone said their communication, they have great communication, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But they broke up and they're no longer together. Whoa. And so I don't know how good that communication is, but they are not a couple.
Directional communication, fantastic, though.
Emotional communication, who knows?
Different story.
But I love Amy, and I'm happy that she won immunity. And now we're going into camp life and deciding what to do for the vote. And basically, all the girls are there together. And
except like, for one important omission, not being there with the rest of the girls.
Yeah, and they're all gathered, and they're like, all right, so we're going to go Eliza, right? And everyone's like, yeah, sounds good. We're going to keep Chris around. That's the smart thing. We're going to vote off Eliza because that's what we tried to do the other night as well. Let's just keep going, Eliza. And that's the cue of it all. Eliza is the cue of this season. And they're planning on that Eliza vote. But then, you know, she obviously sticks around and we get Leanne blindsided this episode because she's so convinced.
There's a very interesting conversation that happens in this discussion about who they should vote out here, because it goes back to like a really old school way of thinking with Survivor, who deserves to be there more. And they just decide, you know what, Chris deserves to be here more. Let's get rid of Eliza. They don't really talk about, there's a little bit of talk, I think, from Amy in a confessional of like, I mean, Chris could just like win a bunch of immunities, but like, what are the chances of that happening? It's just interesting because they were so fed up with Eliza at this point.
Yeah. I mean, they were really fed up with her, but, you know, as people are fed up with Q, she is sticking around and she's a vote and she's a solid vote in your corner. So why not just keep her?
No, even absolutely. If
you
have
personal, you know, difficulties, just keep Eliza around.
Well, and that's kind of where emotional voting is so dangerous on Survivor, just because it can cloud you to what else is going on. I think that's what we saw in 46 this week with Kenzie having previously proposed the blind side of Tiffany and then kind of like getting that emotion get to her of like, okay, Q's got to go. And like, I understand again where it came from. Like we got, I don't know, McKenna, if you saw the post-game interview with Tiff that Mike Bloom posted this morning, where apparently Mackenzie and Maria both offered to give their reward to Liz, but Q told them they weren't allowed to. So like, there was a lot more hatred for Q than I think we were seeing, which explains why that blindside could happen a little more.
Mm-hmm.
But Leanne and Amy, who have been playing so well up to this point in the game, kind of just let that annoyance of Eliza kind of blindside them, especially when there's already conversation of two of the people you are relying on voting this way trying to work with one of the other people there.
And also, like, Amy is like, I don't want to vote Eliza, but I feel like I have to because everyone else wants to vote Eliza. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
You don't have to vote Eliza. If you want to vote Twyla or Scout out here because they're not really with you, maybe that's cool. The move.
Maybe. But alas, it's not what we get. Instead, we get Julie run into Chris and be like, hey, guess what, bud? you're safe. We're sending Eliza home tonight.
Yeah, exactly. And then he runs around and goes to Twyla and is like, so I hear I'm safe. Do we want to make a bigger move than Eliza? And then Twyla's like, sure, but there's one person that you have neglected to talk to. And he's like, Scout? And it's no. And he's like, I'm talking to you right now. And Twyla's like, nope. And then he finally gets to Eliza. And then Twyla's like, I don't know, I'm just saying you should talk to people. And that's the kingpin, like, decision. He grabs Eliza over and they become the final four.
Yeah, they do. And I mean, again, Twyla's game is not recognized enough. Twyla is so good in this moment. I mean, Chris gets a lot of praise, obviously. Chris is a fantastic winner of Survivor. And we really see that in his final jury speech of this season, why he does end up beating Twyla in the end. But Twyla is probably one of the best strategic players on this season. And like in that top tier, probably with Chris, and probably Amy is like up there with them. And then there's a large margin before everyone else, in my opinion. And this is another instance of that where Twyla's like, hey, Chris, you know how we make this plan works? Go get us our one more number to get a majority in seven. And you know who it should be? The person everyone else is talking about voting out.
Yeah. So I just, this is a really like ingenious move by by Twyla. And I think it's just so underrated, underseen, you know, all of that, because not many eyes are on Vanuatu.
Yeah, exactly. And it just kind of falls in that one area where a lot of people don't pay a lot of attention to it, unfortunately, because it is a great season. So Chris does go talk to Eliza about this. And Eliza's like, oh my God, it's me. And like she, I think there's a part of Eliza that logically knows she has to go along with this plan. But she's just so scared this is a ploy to get her out of the game.
Yeah, and it's like, why would Chris do that when he is this sole guy that they've been voting out only guys? Like, I feel like, if anything, Eliza can trust Chris and Chris's word. Because Chris is just trying to survive here. And this conversation is so weird to me, though, because Chris is like, trust me, if you want to survive and make it past this vote, you have to do this one thing. Trust me. Yeah. And it's just like, it's phrased weird, and he never, like, he dances around saying vote Leanne, and like, it's just a weird scene of them together.
It is, but ultimately, like, the reason why we landed on this episode for the Patreon today is because Eliza is, like, simultaneously Q and Liz in this position, where she's the vote that needs to happen, like, needs to come over, but she has to work with these people that she hates in Twyla and Scout. And that's very similar to Liz having to vote with Q in order to blindside Tiffany.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we get to Tribal Council. And Tribal Council's not all that terribly exciting, in all honesty.
Yeah, it's just, it feels like a very basic Tribal Council. Eliza's worried that she's going to go home. And she's just like stressed that she's going home.
Yeah. And I mean, Leanne does have a line where she says, I didn't think this immunity challenge was all that important, because towards the end of the immunity challenge, her best friend stops. She's just like, yeah, don't bother. Like, we're so far out of this. Don't bother. We're good.
Well, yeah, I mean, for Leanne, I mean, the immunity challenge mattered for her to win it, yes, but, like, it didn't matter for her to finish at the point where they were at.
No, for sure. Yeah, that's really about it. And we get to the vote, and then we get the exact same vote read that we did got in this episode of 46. I don't know if you noticed that.
I did not.
Because we start with the one vote for... one vote for the person who's actually going home, and then three straight vote, like the one vote that's like, oh, this must be the person who's going home, three votes for that person who is like expected to go home. So like Q last night or this week, and then Eliza in this episode. Mm-hmm. And then you get the three for the person who's actually going home in Leanne and in Tiffany.
Interesting. Well, look at that. This was a pretty good episode to compare to this week. And it was a lot of fun going back and watching Vanuatu. So anything else, John?
No, I don't think so. Vanuatu, great. It actually really made me want to watch Vanuatu. So I've got to...
You got to get through Marquesas.
I do have to get through Marquesas. I have to wait. Once 46 is over, I'll get back into my Survivor rewatch.
Yes.
But, my off-season Survivor rewatch.
Yeah, exactly. Alrighty, everyone. So make sure you check out the live show if you haven't already. Subscribe, do all the things on YouTube, and make sure you come back and listen to us again. All right. Later.